Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, our feature interview with Emily Orr, the United Fishermen and Allied Workers Union business agent, is here to chat about the recent calls to the federal government to end foreign ownership of Canadian commercial fishing licenses along BC's coast. Recently, the union launched a parliamentary petition, which is picking up steam, to force the federal fisheries minister to address the situation, especially at a time when commercial harvesters on the West Coast are dwindling in numbers. Stay with us.
It's Emily Orr. I'm the business agent for the United Fishermen and Allied Workers Union, calling in from Gabriola Island, BC.
Great, Emily. Thanks so much for joining us. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, the union, the United Fishermen's and Allied Workers Union, recently launched a parliamentary petition to stop ownership or further foreign ownership of Canadian fishing licenses and quotas. And clearly this has been an issue for quite some time. But why is the union calling attention to this situation now?
Sure. So the Standing Committee on Fisheries and Oceans issued a report on West Coast fisheries called Sharing Risks and Benefits back in 2019. And this was recommendation two of that report, to put a stop to any further ownership or beneficial interest in Canadian commercial licenses and quotas. And DFO has yet to act on that. The report's recommendation requested that an immediate stop be put into place. And so time has gone by without action on this. And as that time goes by, we see the further erosion of the benefits of our common property resource of fisheries going elsewhere than to Canadian fishers and to the coastal communities that they work and live in.
Now I know, Emily, as of late, there's been a lot of talk on the coast around marine protected areas, which have a whole suite of issues that come with it and benefits for certain areas along the coast. But one of the things that was pointed out numerous times now is the fact of community-based fisheries, more like CSAs, but community-supported fisheries instead of agriculture. There's few of those licenses, and that the union has been calling for some time to see those local communities that have these licenses, local operators, get more of a larger piece of that pie. So where's the union on that front, and is this playing into these calls for fewer foreign ownerships along these licenses and more power and ownership of these licenses back to local communities?
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched a bit on MPAs, and so we see a wide variety of reasons why fisheries are further and further constrained. And so when we talk about independent owner-operators and local fish harvesters who are trying very hard to go and make a living, and then you factor in what is a constant reduction of spatial access to those fisheries, and MPAs being one of the reasons, the viability is being reduced further and further. And so what happens when the viability of those fishing operations reaches a critical point and those harvesters have no choice but to fold up and sell their licenses and get out of the industry? And in many cases, and we are hearing of it more and more frequently in the last couple of years, some second, third, fourth generation harvesters who cannot make a viable living anymore in this industry. When they leave, it's often corporations and foreign investors that purchase those licenses or quotas. And so what we see is just a further exacerbation of the issue as we look at some of those restraints that are growing in terms of people being able to go and make their living in the fishing industry.
In conversation with some commercial fishers on the coast, they often bring up the differences between Canadian fishing licenses and Alaskan fishing licenses, and that there's a big difference. Whereas in some cases in Alaska, a bigger portion of those licenses need to be owned and operated by the people who are on those boats. Could you explain a little bit of that difference? Why is Canada taking the approach that they have all these years, and how does it differ from other jurisdictions like Alaska?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. In Alaska, they do have owner-operator, and they kind of quip that as boots on the deck. There are some issues with it. They're trying to iron those out, but they're way ahead of us in terms of having that policy in place. We have an owner-operator policy on the East Coast in Canada. They brought in PIFCAF, which is to preserve the Atlantic inshore fisheries and maintain that the benefits go to harvesters and the adjacent communities. And they put that in place. It was brought out in 2007 with a 7-year transition period. So they have had that policy in full swing since 2014. Why we don't have the same policy on the west coast of Canada, nobody seems to have a good answer for that.
I guess on that front, from the union's perspective as well as harvesters, what would be an ideal situation or what do you think could be done to mitigate some of those issues and bring more of those licenses back to, as you mentioned, boots on the deck?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd like to see an owner-operator policy developed in BC, a made-for-BC policy. We know it's not going to work for every fishery. It would be mostly for inshore. We know that it would be complex in working out the details, fishery by fishery. But we think that work is long overdue and that we need to have the minister commit to putting an owner-operator policy in motion for this coast so that we can start to look at those details and how we can make it work. The East Coast, having had an owner-operator policy in place for many years already, gives us the advantage of being able to see and understand how we might build it better to avoid some of the learning curves and some of the issues that they have. They have some issues around enforcement, for example. So I think that there is some really good case in points that we can draw on to make sure that as we look at a policy similar for this coast, that we get it right. But that is what the union would like to see, is a commitment to develop an owner-operator policy. And then putting a stop to foreign ownership is a first step in that.
Obviously, one of the notes or on the petition that the union pointed out was that in 2019, the committee, the House of Commons Standing Committee on Fisheries and Oceans, in their 2019 report, put out a number of recommendations, as you mentioned, one of them being that based on the principle of fish in Canadian waters are a Canadian resource and that no future sales of fishing quotas or licenses to be to non-Canadian beneficial owners. It's been obviously a few years since that report, and it seems like nothing has happened. What's your take on that, and what would you say to the minister and to the committee if asked as to what is the state of licenses and affairs on BC's coast right now?
Sure. Well, we would like to see certainly more attention to the FOPL recommendations and more traction on them. We do know that the Standing Committee is looking to DFO to engage with them more regularly to talk about progress in terms of what they are doing in alignment with the FOPL recommendations. I think that there are some really key actionable items that some can be seen to quicker than others. And the immediate stop to further foreign ownership is one that we feel can be done right away. So it should have been done in 2019 or sooner. I think many people probably don't realize that Canada doesn't have a restriction on foreign ownership of its Canadian commercial licenses and quotas. I think that should and probably does come as a big shock and an unacceptable one to many Canadians. So our hope is that we can draw some attention to this and generate some public support and pressure to have this considered in a much more urgent way than it has been. small-scale fish harvesters are a really important part of the fabric of our coastal communities and of our fisheries economy. We know that when the benefits of fisheries flow to independent harvesters and local harvesters, that those benefits flow out into their communities, and they stay and build out what is a much more healthy picture of what it is that we would like to see again on our coast. And when you take those benefits out of the community, the opposite is true. I mean, we are already witnessing a dismantlement of the infrastructure on our coast when it comes to fish-related services. And that ranges from fish plants to boat repair shops, you name it. It's really coming apart. And once it's gone, it's really gone. You know, we look at our small-scale fish harvesters as a huge contributor to our domestic food security, And a big contributor to our coastal fisheries economy. So we want to see that protected. We want to see a future for small-scale fish harvesters. And so in doing that, we need to collectively protect it.
Emily, you know, I've been obviously paying attention to this issue for some time, and recently, last year, we saw a, you know, $600 million plus fund that was announced by DFO. But recently we found that they're looking for the lowest bid, basically putting the lowest value on, you know, someone's livelihood to buy their license back. In the grand scheme of you know, what we've talked about today, and obviously these issues, these complex fisheries issues, you know, what's your hope with this petition in particular? It's been many years that these issues have been around, and it hasn't seemed to be it hasn't seemed to have been dealt with yet. So what's your hope going forward with some of these issues with smaller operators and with this parliamentary petition?
Sure. Before I get to that part, the Pacific Salmon Strategy Initiative budget was $647 million. Roughly $350 million of that is going to new DFO staff roles to administer the program. Some of that money, roughly $100 million, went to BC SRF, and then what is left to actually administer the buyback portion of the program is roughly $114 million. Part of that fund will also be to retire vessels that when someone has opted into that buyback program, they also then have the option to dispose of their vessel through a program through DFO. Well, they will be paying $2,000 to the vessel holder to have it basically returned for deconstruction and recycling. So just so that we are clear on those numbers, it actually isn't a lot, and you're right, with a reverse bid system, it will be the low-hanging fruit. The folks that are most desperate are the ones that are going to put their bids in, and they'll put them in low to make sure that they succeed. And it doesn't help anyone that doesn't own a license. There are many fishermen that don't actually own a license that have been fishermen for decades, and they have nothing. So working on a labor force adjustment program proposal and hoping that the federal and provincial government will step up and try to support workers that have been displaced through policy. It's really important to understand that fish harvesters are the first ones concerned with conservation. We have management plans in Canada that don't allow commercial fish harvesters to overfish. The programs are so stringent and are based on a precautionary approach that doesn't allow us to even come close jeopardizing the health of the stocks. So fish harvesters, in many cases with the PSSI closures, roughly 60% of their fishery was shut down with no notice and no supports in place. That in terms of what we're looking at and how that fits into preventing further foreign ownership, it's a bit tricky. It's not easy to draw a clear line between what's happened or what's happening with the PSSI program and foreign ownership in particular. But we do want to make sure that the active harvesters that remain once that buyback is complete are owner-operators that are contributing in terms of being part of the Canadian coastal community, and that those licenses that remain are going to be active by those small-scale fish harvesters that are part of those communities.
And just lastly, you know, this parliamentary petition, you know, what's the hope going forward? Do you think that this actually has some legs to bring about some of these changes that you've mentioned?
I do. I think that, well, the petition itself, once it reaches 500 signatures, which it has now, it provides the opportunity then that it will be raised in the House of Commons and the minister will be required to respond to it. But much bigger than that, and why we would like to get as many signatures as possible on it, is we want to show that Canadians do care about this. I feel as though Canadians are increasingly aware and more engaged in these types of resource management issues. And I think it really helps put the pressure on when the public becomes engaged and when the public shows that it does care about this issue. I'm confident that that will have an impact on the speed at which this is managed.
Okay, Emily, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you so much for your time and your insights on this issue, and I'm sure we'll speak again.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.